Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
A new survey on men aged between 18 and 30 has taken a look at what they think of the traditional ideas of masculinity. And for those of us who have struggles with this traditional view, the results are encouraging. Michael Flood is a professor of sociology at Queensland University of Technology. Michael, welcome back to Drive.
Thanks very much.
What characterises the stereotypical model of a man?
Look, the model that we have in mind is a model where men and boys are expected to always be tough, aggressive, to take risks, to, you know, hide vulnerable emotion, to keep that in, to be heterosexual, to be homophobic, to be emotionally inexpressive, to not express emotion, and to be dominant. And so we asked young men, we presented young men, 18 to 30, with a series of statements that reflected that traditional model, and we said, do you agree with this yourself? Do you yourself think that that's what men should be like? But then we also asked them, are these the messages you get from society? And yes, certainly found some interesting findings.
What did the survey show in terms of what younger men think of this model?
Look, we found that most young men don't agree with that traditional model of how to be a man. Most young men, in fact, think that men don't have to always be tough. Men, you know, don't have to prove themselves by being aggressive. It is okay to be gay or bisexual. Men can express emotion and so on. But we found that about 20 to 25% or even up to 30% of young men, depending on the question, did agree with some of those elements of traditional masculinity. What we also found is that those young men, the young men who agreed most strongly with that model of traditional masculinity, they were more likely to be suffering harm themselves, more likely to have considered suicide, more likely to not reach out for help when they were struggling, more likely to be, taking drugs or alcohol and then driving or going to work. They're also more likely to be doing harm to others, much more likely than other young men, for example, to have used violence against a wife or a girlfriend. Now, most men don't use violence. Most men, you know, in Australia don't use violence. It's among a minority of men. But we found that about 20 to 25%, so one-fifth to one-quarter of young men had used violence, physical or sexual violence, against a wife or girlfriend or female partner, and those young men were much more likely to agree with that traditional model of how to be a man than other young men.
Michael, how do the results compare to previous surveys? Are things improving?
Look, they've improved a bit. We did the survey in 2018 and then did it again last year and published it this year. So we've got data over 5 years. And what we found, which in a way was troubling, is that agreement with these traditional masculine ideals hasn't shifted much. Most young men still agree to the same extent with those ideals as what they did 5 years ago. A couple of things have shifted. So young men these days are more comfortable with the idea that men should put time into their grooming or their appearance, you know, into hair and clothes and so on. Also, young men were less likely these days to think that a guy should know where his wife and girlfriend is at all times. And, you know, I think that's good news because that statement kind of speaks to a bit like control. You know, your wife or girlfriend always has to tell you where they are and kind of controlling where she is. But we found that most other things hadn't changed much. However, young men did report a big shift in what they felt they were being told by society. For example, young men felt that these days they were less often getting the message that men should always be stoic. Men shouldn't show pain. Men shouldn't show weakness. These days, fewer men feel they're being told by society that domestic work, you know, childcare, washing up and so on, is women's work, not men's work. So there were some shifts in what young men felt they were being told by society, less of a shift, though, in young men's own beliefs.
It's interesting when we think about what they're being told by society. If I think, you know, I was always taught not to show emotion, and it took a lot of work to undo that, you know, and to be comfortable in being vulnerable and showing emotions and not necessarily seeing them as a weakness. How do we get the shift in I suppose, this group of people that haven't changed?
Great question. I think all kinds of things can help play a role. So, for example, parents can help play a role. I think about my son and my daughter and the way I raise them, and trying to give them both the message that when you're struggling, you can ask for help. When there's something really tough going on, you can share it with your friends or your parents and so on. And that's the message that I think boys and young men have heard far less often than girls and young women. And, of course, boys and young men often from their mates, from their male peers, hear that message that, you know, you've got to be tough, you shouldn't show weakness, what are you, you know, you're behaving, well, I won't use the abusive terms that do get used, but, you know, the kind of terms to keep boys in line. So one thing is parents can play a role. I think we can also question some of the messages in media, in advertising and so on, that again hold up that message that you've got to always be tough. Because the tragedy is that leaves men ill-equipped to deal with relationships, for example, where knowing what's going on for yourself emotionally and being able to express that in a safe and respectful way is a key skill in a relationship and in a friendship.
One of the things that I suppose I love about this job here is I meet and speak with a diverse range of people, and being curious has enabled me to grow, which I absolutely love. Now, this survey is in the 18 to 30-year-old bracket, and we've seen a slight change, as you mentioned. How do we get the above 30-year-olds to change as well and to be more curious and open to change?
God, that's such a good question. I mean, and it's really interesting looking at the debates about, I mean, I hate this phrase, but the debates about toxic masculinity and about how boys and men are raised and so on. To the extent there's been media and community attention, it's focused overwhelmingly on boys and young men. And the fact that large numbers of men over, who aren't young, who are, 30 plus, 40 plus and 50 and so on, but the fact that large numbers of those men have grown up often with fairly rigid ideas about how to be a man, there's not much discussion of, except when, there's separation or there's divorce or there's violence and so on. But we absolutely need to be having those conversations at those ages too. And look, I am encouraged to report that there are men's health campaigns, for example, that encourage men to support each other, to reach out to a mate, to ask for help. There are suicide prevention campaigns that do that as well. Just at this point, though, they're pretty small, they're pretty scattered, and we need much more of those conversations about really opening up some of the gender roles that men have been lumped with.
And you mentioned earlier that, there's some negative consequences of adopting this stereotypical idea of a man. Do you think that's part of the communication we need to get across as well, as say, hey, you know, this is what can potentially happen if you do follow these?
Yeah, absolutely. And the two parts of that, I think, part of the harm is harm to men and boys themselves. And certainly the Man Box survey, as it's called, the Man Box survey found that the men who agreed more strongly with those traditional masculine norms or those Man Box norms, they were more likely to have considered suicide, more likely to be drinking at dangerous levels, more likely to be problem gambling and so on. And all those things cost us. They cost us physically, emotionally, financially, and so on. But the young men, the young adult men, 18 to 30, who agreed with those Man Box norms, they were also more likely to be doing harm to others, to have assaulted their girlfriends, as I've said, to have not intervened or not spoken up when they saw bullying or other behaviour online and so on. And so, most of us want to be good guys. Most of us men and boys want to be good blokes and want to be seen as such by the people around us. And one of the key messages of this work is that some of those traditional norms of masculinity, they're getting in the way there. They're actually, encouraging us to behave in ways that aren't going to be good for us or anyone around us.
What's a good way, I suppose, if we know someone that is like that and has adopted those attributes, what's a good way of broaching a conversation or at least starting to maybe get them to be a little bit more malleable to change?
Look, you've got to start with compassion. I think you've got to start with empathy, with a kind of an understandable recognition that they may be acting that way or believing those things because that's what they were told by their parents or told by others, and that's how they were raised. You've got to be understanding. And, you know, just like work with boys in a school, you know, what people call respectful relationships education, classrooms in classes in schools and so on, you've got to start with empathy, you've got to start with compassion. And I think part of it is appealing to self-interest, or at least appealing to a kind of remodeled version of self-interest, where you hold out to men and boys the fact that they will have richer friendships, they will have richer relationships, their health will be better if they can start to think in a bit more open ways about, you know, about how they're being in the world.
Michael, I love the fact that you've given us a bit of a snapshot of where men and boys think they are at the moment. How often is this survey done?
Look, so it's been done twice now every 5 years. I hope it'll continue. And, of course, it's just one of the pieces of data we've got in Australia to say that some of the things that men and boys learn as part of being men, or being taught how to be real men, are not very helpful at all. So, you know, I think it clearly tells us there's work to do.
Michael, great to have this conversation. Let's keep it going. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Thanks very much.
Michael Flood, Professor of Sociology at Queensland University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.